Welcome to the FT Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 16th of January, and I'm recording at 9:25 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time here in London. First, I want to say that I'm sorry that I haven't been able to write more copy. I love writing copy, but I've had business-related activities which have pulled me away from it a little bit temporarily, but not for long, I promise. Now, what's happened here in today's interesting markets? Well, Wall Street gave up a little ground on the Dow, but less than 0.4% of a percent, and the S&P was just down a tiny percentage, a little over a tenth of a percent. And then the NASDAQ actually was firm, so that's, firmer, it was up a tenth of a percent. Not much has changed here overall today. A little bit of a breather following 2 days of decent gains. But the point I wanted to emphasize, and I have mentioned this before certainly, is that we're a little more cautious of Wall Street here at these levels in the short term, because it's more expensive than other stock markets. In terms of medium-term themes, we remain very positive, because we have and medium and longer-term themes, and now I'm referring to the U.S. leading the accelerated rate of technological innovation. That's hugely important as far as companies are concerned. I'm also referring to the USA's energy advantage thanks to fracking. That's immensely important among developing nations. What other big developing nation can boast that kind of energy advantage? And then, of course, the U.S. Leads the number of autonomies, and these are these powerful global players that we like so much, that are able to benefit from the global economy these days, not just the U.S. economy, quite obviously. Will it mostly range for a while? Well, the trends are still rivetingly consistent, so there's nothing to say that this move higher is over. But I do feel that from current levels, that over the medium term, that there's maybe a little bit more downside risk than upside scope. We'll see, but I certainly don't see anything disastrous happening here in Wall Street. And not many other places either, barring some extreme governance issues of concern. And one of the reasons why the stock market environment remains so healthy here overall is that companies have been able to rebuild their balance sheets for the most part, taking advantage of the lengthy era of ultra low interest rates. So that has helped them immensely. It's helped all borrowers here quite considerably, as you'll be well aware. And the corporations have been able to refinance often for quite a lengthy period here, and some of them have also used share buybacks and so on. So they're in a very strong, healthy position, one that we certainly couldn't claim for them going back to 2000 to 2008, that 2008 period. Now, looking elsewhere here, European stock markets, which have been very firm overall for several months, a little bit of a breather in here today, small declines though across the boards, although Switzerland bucked the trend up a third of a percent. Japan a fraction lower on the Nikkei, but that TSE2 second section index pushing again to another new recovery high. So we're still completing this medium-term consolidation, which goes back a good many months, back to May, I believe. And that's the first step above the base, and the second section has already broken clearly up above that level. So I wouldn't worry about the Nikkei unless we see it break below the 15,000 level for more than a day or two. And it's not threatening to do that here right now. What about China? Well, bit of an enigma, isn't it? But it depends what you're actually looking at. That applies certainly to the Shanghai Composite Index, which has been a serial underperformer over the last couple of months and over the last few years, I should say, really since its 2009 high. But you look at the Hang Seng Index and Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, and that's just below the 23,000 level. And if you look at the chart, you've got a number of highs just below the 25,000 level that really go back for a few years. So when we get, and I think it is a matter of when we get a sustained break above that 25,000 level, I think that will really be quite bullish for the Hang Seng, and it'll probably go on and take out its all-time highs, and it's certainly not expensive. It's about half the valuations of Wall Street. Maybe not quite that much, but it's certainly cheap overall. Now, looking at some of these other Asian markets, I think the good thing about the underperformance that we've seen there and the weaker currencies is that it's a background that is helping to shore up these economies, improving their valuations, shore up these economies without too much dramatic too many dramatic events overall, is the way I should actually put it. Now, I want to mention India because it's been surprisingly strong. When I say surprising, I think the medium-term picture is medium to longer-term picture is very, very interesting. Here we are now in 2014, and we're going to see an election in May at the latest, in which we're probably going to see Narendra Modi winning. Hopefully, wins with a workable majority here overall, and that could be transformative. And I think India has been reflecting that. And I believe we had the highest level reached yesterday by the Indian market. So it is holding fairly firmly here. It was down a tiny fraction in here today. My concerns are really over debt financing here overall, because India has not had the low interest rates to enable it to benefit from the situations that we see in a number of other countries. But then again, we've got a good central bank governor, and I think a good economically oriented prime minister coming in before mid-year. And I've already said it could be transformative here overall. The rupee is just above the 61.5 level, so it's its lowest level in about a month and a half in here. And remember, there's a preference of keeping it in the 62 to 60 rupees to the US dollar range, and the government's on, and the, you know, the central bank's on track for achieving that. Now, what about long dated government bonds? Let me just check that US 10. Let's see, sorry, it's USGG 10YR, as I think out loud here, and how did that do today? It's hold on. This is embarrassing. Let's see. If I don't get it this time, I'm going to bang my head against the wall. There we go. Dip down a little bit. 2.8. well, just below 2.84 here. So this is postponing, with the help of central banks, I'm sure, but postponing that move above the 3% level. And it's important to consider this rate because, of course, the U.S. is the first of the central banks involved in a big QE exercise, and certainly an easy money exercise on the part of the European Central Bank, of all the money they've loaned to the banking sectors there. But a medium to longer term threat to stock markets will be rises in interest rates. And that's, I think, a fairly obvious point, but it's just, when does that actually happen? Well, it hasn't happened yet, and the environment is still really quite favorable here overall. When we start to get, as I've said before in some of these audios, when we get a break above the high that we've seen earlier this year, and that a little over that 3% level that first was reached back in September of last year. And I've said, when we see about 3.10 or higher on that U.S. 10-year, then you'll know that the fuse in terms of some well, in terms of headwind here for stock markets, will have been lit. It won't be a serious problem, but the higher rates go, the more tempted people will be to shift back to bonds from equities. It won't happen at 3.10, but at 4, 4.5, it certainly will take place to some extent. But these are not short-term problems here. These are just things to bear in mind as we look ahead in these markets. Meanwhile, I want to emphasize the point that the liquidity situation in terms of money from central banks is very, very positive. Now, not all of the lending banks are willing to lend, and particularly they've been unwilling to lend to smaller companies. So there are obviously problems around here overall, but as far as the stock market is concerned, the monetary environment generally is extremely positive for the vast number of stock markets here overall, and that will remain the case for a while longer. And there's no bullish fundamental factor that's more important, in my opinion, than the monetary policy. And it is a powerful tailwind. Now, what else happened in here today? Precious metals, steadyish here overall. There are a lot of people talking gold and silver down, but the charts, if you look at them now for mining shares, which were disastrous performers last year, but signs of base development, signs of support building, or take the precious metals themselves. We're seeing this these support levels hold in here for silver and gold. It's not, they haven't been able to break up away from those levels. Platinum and palladium have been a little bit stronger overall. But whereas previously I was really quite cautious about being optimistic about the precious metals, not least given the overall downward trends, I think right now I'm saying that I think I'm justifiably a little bit more hopeful that these support levels are going to hold. And therefore, well, it's marginal. I'll rate it 51 to 49 in terms of the overall outlook, but the steadiness of the shares is an encouraging factor generally. Now, industrial metals, also an interesting area, and the same thing we can say about some of these mining shares. And I've mentioned this in the past, but they are classic late performers in mature or even post-peak bull markets for the major indices that we see on Wall Street. Well, we don't have any evidence that we're at post-peak highs for this bull market move on Wall Street, but it's a mature cycle. It's got to be, having moved up since second quarter of 2009, and for some markets going back to the fourth quarter of 2008. So a mature cycle, yes, but still with that favorable monetary condition, to repeat that key point. And this is the time when I would expect some of those lagging, big ranging type 3 bases, as we described them in our copy and at the chart seminar, suggest that some of these lagging sectors will do well over the next few months, if only because they're so cheap relative to the rather expensive favorites that have led the way over the last few years. And that will also apply to markets in general that have lagged behind and that are undervalued. That's why Europe's been firm in here overall. Elsewhere, looking at the commodity prices, rest of the commodity prices, industrial metal prices are firmer here today, although I noticed U.S. copper was a little lower. The London copper was a bit higher overall. Crude oil not providing any problems here. 105.5 for the Brent, and we're at 94 for the WTI overall. I notice coffee and cotton are a little steadier here today. The CCI index is just above that 510 level, but it has steadied here once again. And if the global economy is going to pick up in 2014, and I think it will, although it may be at a snail's pace, upturn, so it would be easy to miss if you're not watching very, very closely. But if it does pick up, I would expect these commodities generally to be a little firmer. I don't think there's too much risk of overheating in the commodity market sector here over the short to medium term. And on that note, I'll be away tomorrow evening, so I won't be able to do the audio, but you'll be in Owen's capable hands. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.